WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. The inauguration of Donald Trump is now taking place inside due to the extremely cold weather. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with how this will all work now.
Inside, TV cameras and a few hundred dignitaries will be able to watch the swearing-in in person, but not the crowds that were expected outdoors on the National Mall.
I was like really excited for my kids to witness it.
Katie Fallis from New York attended Trump's first inauguration and brought her children this time. Friday, President-elect Trump said some supporters will be able to gather in Washington's Capital One Arena to view the swearing-in on screens. And the newly inaugurated President Trump will then visit in person for a modified indoor parade.
Now, the forecast for D.C. on Monday calls for high temperatures of 22 degrees, which is downright balmy compared to the Ronald Reagan's second inauguration. That was held in the Rotunda, with the temp hovering around 7, and the wind chill then making it feel negative 20. The extreme cold is about to hit much of the United States, even down in Houston, where this hardware store owner says a lot of people are coming in to buy insulating material.
The faucet protectors, which is like a little bag, and that fits right over your faucet, pull that side, and it tightens.
Now to the L.A. wildfires and the problems some homeowners are having trying to rebuild. Reporter Max Darrow talked with a homeowner in Soma who's had to change insurance providers several times.
He worked with insurance brokers in Northern and Southern California and finally was able to land another policy with a much higher premium, almost $2,700 more expensive than what he used to pay. And even now,
we have no idea come June 1st of 2025 whether or not they're going to not renew us.
TikTok will be banned tomorrow. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson with what happens now.
There are some levers for the president to pull, both with respect to talking to his attorney general or trying to convince Congress. Also, he can try and make a deal happen.
Robert Berger's in Jerusalem with the latest on a six-week ceasefire deal set to begin tomorrow in Gaza.
On the same day, Hamas is due to release 3 female Israeli hostages, while Israel will free 95 Palestinian prisoners. A total of 33 hostages are due to be released during the truce.
In Ukraine, an overnight Russian missile attack killed 4 people in Kyiv. Ukraine said its military destroyed 24 drones and 2 ballistic missiles launched by Russia during the airstrike. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Voters will decide whether Wisconsin's voter ID law will be added to the state constitution. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters will see the proposal on the April 1st ballot. If approved, the state constitution would be amended, which would make the change much harder to repeal in the future. Proponents insist stricter ID requirements help to prevent voter fraud, but opponents, including Jay Heck with Common Cause Wisconsin, say they provide a partisan advantage for Republicans.
All it does is it reduces the opportunity for certain segments of the population to be able to vote. It doesn't do anything about preventing fraud, and it's just a voter suppression method.
Heck says he believes the measure will attract more conservatives to the polls in April. And even if voters reject the idea of changing the Constitution, the state's voter ID requirement, which is among the strictest in the country, would remain. The state's voter ID law has been long debated for its prohibitive requirements. Wisconsin allows 7 forms of identification that can be presented at the polls, but Heck explains they have to meet particular requirements.
These are forms of ID that, although they seem on the surface to make some sense, they're very difficult for some segments of the population to obtain.
Heck adds rushing to put these requirements in the state constitution is strategic given the state Supreme Court justice ballot the measure will share. In more than 40 years, the Conservative Heritage Foundation lists only 68 cases of voter fraud in Wisconsin. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly sunny and a high near 10 above today, wind chill to 10 below. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 12 below, wind chill to 30 below. Even colder Sunday, high only 3 below, wind chills 20 to 30 below. Currently, it's 10 above.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he didn't cut a dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we got a couple things going on today. One, we're going to have our friend Arvina Martin from the great state of Wisconsin and one of my all-time favorite cities in the world here, Madison, Wisconsin, stopping in and shooting, chewing the buffalo, chewing the bison, chewing the fat. I don't know how we can say that. But and then our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News will be checking in. A lot going on, as always, here in the Twin Cities. I know I'm a comedian in my own mind, and there's going to be a big auntie energy going on at the Parkway Theater again. And every year it sells out, and this year it's going to be on Friday, January 24th at 6:30. Doors open. It starts at 7:30, and it's always sells out. And you can go online at theparkwaytheater.com, or it's $25 at the door. So lots of fun there. It's always sold out. A lot of good energy. It's open to everybody. A lot of Native humor, but humor is—it's almost like Native issues are human issues, but human issues are Native issues. But it's humor issues are Native humor. And human, you know how that goes. So I'll work on that for next show, Haley.
And who's going to be performing at the Big Auntie Energy Show, Robert?
Is that a trick question? Trish.
Oh, you read it. You skipped that part.
Oh yes, you're giving away our secrets again. Haley's got this whole prepared out there, and Deanna Standing Cloud, Rob Fairbanks, and Trish Cook, and host. Gabriel Nightshield, and that's at the Parkway Theater January 24th. I don't know. Have you made any of them? I made two of them, and they were hilarious.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to make sure we shouted out the names, because when I hear Deanna and Trish, a duo, they're so iconic together. That just calls for some big auntie belly laughs, at least for me. So I'll definitely be checking this one out on Friday, January 24th at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis. Again, 6:30, doors open, shows at 7:30. I recommend getting your tickets online for a little bit cheaper of a price, and that's at theparkwaytheater.com. But yeah, that'll be fun, and we'll get them on the show soon, hopefully before that.
Yeah, that'd be great. And remember, Deanna Standing Cloud did the last play from New Native Theater, the kind of the podcast, but I thought of it more as like a radio broadcast. It was really fun with microphones and actors coming up. And what a great play and what a great talent we have here in the Twin Cities. Really excited to hear their observations and the humor. And Rob Fairbanks is always a big I didn't know he was an auntie, but he is always a good comedian.
Yeah, that's cool. It'll be like a trio of Ojibwe comedians. That'll be a great night. You mentioned New Native Theater. Great shout out for Deanna's performance, show that she wrote, Blood Quantum Physics. That was a series part of a play. And New Native Theater just put out a new casting call. This is for The Nut, The Hermit, The Crow, and The Monk. Actors needed for Native roles in that production for New Native Theater. You can send your headshot and bio to info@newnativetheater.org.
I sent yours in, Haley, so expect for a casting call here very soon.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait, too. It'll be a tradition to go see that play. Hey, every year, too, Enda Young has this awesome powwow. And this year, again, it's at Johnson Senior High School. It's the 26th annual Cherish the Children. Let's try that again. Cherish the Children Traditional Powwow. And the grand entries are at 1 and 7, feast at 5. And then Sunday, they'll have a grand entry at 1. But to me, Haley, that's one of the premier powwows during the winter here in the Twin Cities. That's huge, a lot of vendors. It's really, I'm going to see if we can get the grandbabies out for that, because that's a good one, right?
Yeah, I got to cherish those grandbabies. I know MC will be Jerry Dearly. I think he does that one pretty annually.
Yep.
And it's always a great time to see Jerry out there, one of our great elders in community. But yeah, that'll be fun. I'm always looking forward to that one. Enda Young is a great group and very much needed here in the Twin Cities.
Well, you have those great skirts you make, and with pockets, and maybe you can put your new beaded hat on too, and get out there for some dancing.
Oh, yeah, we'll be rocking some mocks, I'm sure. Definitely some beaded accessories too.
Right on. Hey, we have our friend Arvina Martin. Should we drag her into this right away?
Hey, Arvina, we saw those Packers lost.
Hey, saw the Vikes lost too. We're just a bunch of sad sacks here today, aren't we?
Oh, sad whole chunks.
I know. Yeah. Well, hey, let me introduce you, Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. Ho-Chunk, and we don't like to talk about the Stockbridge Muncie part of you, but you are that too.
I sure am. Yeah.
Right on. Hey, so let's get it over with. Packers were lackluster and the Vikings were super lackluster. So I guess I don't have to watch any more football the rest of the year.
I mean, I'm actually actively rooting for the Lions at this point. You know, I remember the 80s and like feeling like my entire life that the Packers were terrible, until Brett Favre came and changed everything. So like, I remember those days. And so, you know, I want it for the Lions fans. They, you know, that team has been putting in the work, and they have some really fast receivers and running backs and everything. And I fingers crossed. And then at least we can say that we kept the NFL, the Lombardi Trophy in the NFC North.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to think about it. I'm a little more, well, you know, what I was hoping for, Arvina, was the Vikings and the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl, two teams that have lost 4 Super Bowls, and one of them would have to win it. So, but that dream ended very quickly. Wendy and I were in New York at right next to Penn Station. There's this Vikings bar there, and there was thousands of people in there, and yeah, we kind of snuck out of there at halftime, heading back to Long Beach.
Yeah, I was in the UP watching the Packer game, and did not even make it to halftime. I fell asleep, sadly. It was snowing a lot. There was a lot, you know, it took a lot to move around while we were up there. So
it's snowing a lot. It kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz and the poppy seed, you know, where they were going up to that. Well, that's another thing with the
Wizard. I've never seen the Wizard of Oz.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Well, that was a thing. We only got a minute left here, but that was a standard because they played it every year on TV from the 60s on. And I don't know if they lost their copyright, but that was played a lot every year, like during Thanksgiving. So that's when I got to see it. But seen it since, and also seen Wicked and been in Broadway and seen that three times and watched the movie. And yeah. Okay, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Arvina Martin and Haley Cherry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up in our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and Ho-Chunk. Well, it's a Ho-Chunk show, and we just had Sharice introduce that this next segment. So we're on a roll here, Arvina.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Hey, so what's happening in Wisconsin here? And I know it's hard for us to take a breath, and there's another election coming around the corner, and I've been getting some emails talking about another Supreme Court election. Is that true?
Yes, we are having Wisconsin has elections every spring, which I didn't realize until like not too long ago. But so this election in spring, the April general election, will have the Supreme Court race on it. It will have it. Excuse me, my words are not working for me today. It's going to be a race between progressive candidate Susan Crawford and a conservative candidate as well, whose name has escaped me, actually. I can't remember what his name is, but Susan Crawford is the incumbent, or not the incumbent, is the progressive, and she is pretty fabulous.
Well, I'm excited, and maybe we had Protasiewicz on the last election here, because we have such a big following in Wisconsin. We'll have to try and pull that together again. And were you proud of me? I know Haley is all the time when I can say Protasiewicz.
Hey, that's it took me a while to be able to say too. We have a former mayor here in Madison whose last name is Cheslevitz, and it is spelled in a way that does not look anything like Cheslevitz. So
I'd still be struggling with that one now, I'm sure. And yeah. we got to stay connected in too. And how do we do that and stay healthy? Because, and I mean that emotionally, because mm-hmm. I just see some things that just I want to not see, you know, and especially with what's going down here with this Fox News reporter that wants to be ahead of the military. And I just, and he's from Minnesota too. And I'm not proud to say that, but isn't that weird?
They can't all be winners. They can't all be Tim Walz's.
Or Haley Cherry. Almost
that too.
Yeah.
Or Robert Pilots.
Oh, there you go. I was fishing.
Yeah, there you go.
But how do we stay mentally healthy with what's going on around us? And I know it was really aggravating and unreal. I mean, the last time POTUS or Trump was in, it was, you know, recorded 38,000 lies. You know, the last debate he did was, you know, with 90 minutes was over 30 lies. And here we go.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is it's okay to turn off the news. If what's happening is distressing, or, you know, triggers any past traumatic responses or things like that, it's okay to turn the news off and then maybe find out what's happening. You know, if you need to know, find out what's happening in a way that's easier for you to consume. And along those lines as well is staying away from screens. And making sure that you have your time away from screens, which for me is really hard because I almost always either have my laptop, my cell phone, or my TV on, sometimes all three, depending on what I'm doing. But, you know, taking that time out to get away and be present in your own environment, and not a screen to a world somewhere else. I think that those are really important things, and checking in on yourself and noticing if things feel weird, or if, you know, you've got a little spot on your shoulder that like you can't rub, like it's just a little knot of tension, you know, those terrible ones that you can't reach. You know, listen to your body. If that's doing something, you know, make sure that you're checking your body posture and making sure your shoulders are down, and there's so many little things that you can do to kind of help keep yourself, you know, in the best kind of mindset and physical space to be able to have that mindset, I guess. Well, that makes sense.
And it's hard here too, Arvina, that we're having a little messy things happening here in our former trifecta here in Minnesota. And I don't know if you've been aware of that, but we have one vote in the Senate, and it wasn't the Senate election, but one of our progressive members passed away. So now it's tied until the next several elections. And then we had another one where with the representatives that one person wasn't living in his district, and they had to, you know, he won, and they have to do another election. So right now, until the special elections happen, the Republicans are one up in the House of Representatives here in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. I'm actually really surprised that I didn't know that was happening. I've been in my projects too much this week, I think.
Yeah. Well,
that is wild. And, you know, and it goes to show you that like a majority that you think you have isn't always going to be there, and you don't know what's going to happen. And things, you know, luck can change and the tides may go the other way, or whatever the metaphors are. There's so many of them. Right. But, you know, it does change things substantially for you guys.
Yeah. And I always like the reason why I bring that up to Arvina is I always like to fall back when it comes talk about the national scene and not paying attention now because of the way things are nationally is to look more locally. But now locally we have a little rockiness. So now I'm going to have to go county-wise here or city-wise here and support my city council people.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. As a former city council person, you should most certainly support your local candidates for like city or town council, village board or school boards, county board seats, things like that. Those, you know, those folks are the ones that end up doing a lot of the work that affects you from day to day. And so, you know, getting to know them, you know, might help sometime when you are an email in the inbox and it says there's a big pothole in my, like right outside my driveway kind of thing. they're like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Our mental health will be tested here in the next 4 years. And
yeah. And check on others, check on your friends and family too. You know, that sometimes we all get, and I am very guilty of this too, getting so wrapped up in what I'm doing, whether it's my work, whether it is, you know, a beading project or something like that, that it's, you know, I need somebody to kind of reach out and like kind of break me out of it almost. It's like a hyper focus. And, you know, those checks are really important for me to be able to, you know, take care of myself. So I'm always grateful when friends and family check in with me.
Yeah. Well, and with your job, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit in the next segment too, with what you do for the community and in the state of Wisconsin, that's a good medicine too, to keep track of that and supporting the people that are going to be moving forward, which is, we need more of that. And it's great that, you know, Emerge Wisconsin is emerging.
Absolutely. And I have a cat who wants to be on the yeah. show as well.
Kind of reminds me of Dr. Evil from Austin Powers.
She does have a mustache. No, I don't think so. in any case, I'm sure this is fabulous radio.
she's
got her claws in, so I don't think I can move her.
Okay. She's in there for the segment.
Things that are, yeah. Like I said, the spring elections are, you know, those are the, where you get your, at least in Wisconsin, where you get your very local, candidates and positions. And, so far fewer people vote in spring elections because they're, you know, not really the sexy races. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's very important. Like I said, these are the people that deal with things that you, see in everyday life, like your road conditions, you know, your public schools and things like that. You know, so pay attention and make sure you make your vote count.
Yeah. And, we're going to probably take a quick break here in another few seconds here, but we want, Arvina to be able to,
the cat.
I was going to say declaw your cat, but that's not the right way to put it. But yeah, I liked how you said it. Hey, Arvina, we're going to be taking a quick break here, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Arvina Martin, who's executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we'll talk a little bit more about her work and how we can support it and how we can find out more information. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. A big change from Monday's presidential inauguration.
Washington braces for a polar plunge Monday. Forecasts with wind chills in the single digits are forcing the ceremonies inside.
TikTok CEO today thanked President-elect Donald Trump for his commitment to try to avert a ban.
We are grateful and pleased to have the support of a president who truly understands our platform. One who has used TikTok to express his own thoughts and perspectives, connecting with the world, and generating more than 60 billion views of his content in the process.
The Supreme Court ruled to uphold a law that bans TikTok unless its Chinese owner sells the app. Many homes that survived the wildfires in California will need a deep cleaning due to smoke damage before people can move back in. Steve Carlisle has a ServPro franchise and says it's hard a process that could take weeks.
You cannot put the cart before the horse. Yeah, it has to be methodical.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Remembering Bob Uecker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The voice of the Brewers, Bob Uecker, passed away Thursday at the age of 90. Former Brewers owner and baseball commissioner Bud Selig.
Bob and I first met about 1959. You know, that's 65 years. Bob and I used to kid a lot. We were two Milwaukee kids. When I hired him, January of 1971, I said, how'd you like to work for the Brewers? He said, I'd love to. That was it. We never had a contract, never had any broadcast games, and he's done the same with Mark Antanasio. And he was just remarkable. Loyal to Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Talk about things, and he had an unbelievable mind. But he did love the game. I mean, he means so much to Brewer fans and baseball fans. He was one of them, and they knew it.
That's Bud Selig with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly sunny and a high near 10 above today, wind chill to 10 below. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 12 below, wind chill to 30 below. Even colder Sunday, high only 3 below, wind chills 20 to 30 below. Currently, we're at 8.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it?
I mean, things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better. And they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dom Salvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, we are here with our friend and Ho-Chunk citizen Arvina Martin, executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. And, well, let's check in on what's happening with Emerge and what's going on, and tell our listening audience, because we get people all over the country jumping on and listening on all our different platforms. And maybe you can just fill people in first on what Emerge Wisconsin is.
Yeah, Emerge Wisconsin is an organization that trains and recruits Democratic women and trains them on how to run for office. We have been doing this here in Wisconsin for almost 15 years, I believe. We're one of the earlier states, and we have over 300 alums that have been trained through our statewide training program.
Yes, and you had some candidates this last cycle,
we did. Our candidates in the fall general election won at a rate of 92%. So we're pretty pleased with that result.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Were you an Emerge person when you ran for city council?
Yes, I had done Emerge in 2014, which was about 3 years before I ran for city council. And honestly, I don't know if I would have run had I not done Emerge. Mm-hmm. So it got me there. It got me to yes to to run.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just for people that don't know about Arvina Martin, she's the first Native American city council member in the history of the great city of Madison, Wisconsin. And yeah. As we were talking earlier, Haley and I love the city of Madison. I would live there if I wasn't here in New York or St. Paul.
Yeah, and Madison's pretty great. And, you know, I love my home. And, you know, there's going to actually, we're having city council elections this year. So, or this spring rather. So all of Madison's alders are up for re-election there are 20. And so every single one up for re-election. The mayor is not up herself. She has a four-year term. That's going to be some stuff that's on our ballot here in Madison in the spring.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I love when I lived in Madison the first time, regular cars could drive on State Street. That's how old I am.
I've never seen that.
No, I'm a lot older than you, Arvina. That was the 70s. That was the 70s when I lived there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, it's a lot different now. And it's even a lot different, like the State Street area is much different than, you know, it was before the pandemic. And it still kind of surprises me going down there, you know, how it's mostly now restaurants and bars and not so many quirky shops and things right. like that. But, you know, things evolve, and that's okay. And to fit the needs of the community, we need more cafes and restaurants. That's not bad.
You know, what's fun, too, is one of our sister stations is on State Street now, and that's Devil Advocate Radio is on their studios on State Street, a couple blocks from the Capitol. And whenever I'm in Madison, I stop in and say hello, so they say hello back. Oh,
yeah, those guys have been around for a while. They, you know, I think they came up during the Act 10 protests about the ending of public unions in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was heavy duty. That was heavy duty. People were sleeping and staying in the Capitol, right?
There were. It was really exciting. I was an intern for like the Democratic Party, and that was my first job. Was as a comms intern. So I was there taking pictures and, you know, talking to people and writing things down that we could use and for social media or anything. And it was absolutely wild, and seeing how people were taking care of each other, whether, you know, people bringing in like protein bars or pallets of like Gatorade, and like everybody knew where to go pick some stuff up, or if you needed first aid, you know, there were Band-Aids and things to wipe things off and everything. You know, it was quite the remarkable experience. And I brought my daughter, who at the time was like maybe 3, and there was no violence. It was all just a lot of, you know, shouting and walking and everything, and sign carrying, you know, on the outside, as opposed to the inside, where people were trying to speak with their representatives and senators, and trying to, you know, affect what was happening at the time.
You know, it also reminds me, shortly after that was Save the Mound, and we came with busloads of Ho-Chunk from Minnesota with a couple of busloads full, and I remember it was really cold, and we marched around the Capitol and kind of powwowed in the Capitol, and there were speakers, and then we had to leave at a certain time, and then on our way back to the Twin Cities, we heard that the bill had been defeated.
Yeah, the thing I remember the most about that day was how cold it was. And I was so prepared and so layered. And then my toe warmers didn't work. They never kicked in. So that was a little rough. But the crowd that day was very, you know, excited. It wasn't a crowd of people that was sitting there huddling because they were cold, you know, like there was movement, there was activity, there was all kinds of, you know, like you said, coming in. I remember, I think it was hearing the Bear Clan song as we went in, and just being like, that sound, you know, in that cavernous space is just so, I just love the way our song sound in that building, and hearing the Bear Clan song come in was a pretty powerful moment as well.
Yeah, I definitely. And then I always remember getting off the bus and there was pizza, but it was so cold. The pizza was already cold when we got.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Remember, they were, I think Ho-Chunk was feeding us.
That sounds about right. I think so. And I know we got T-shirts because I have mine somewhere. Yeah.
I still have a big sign. It's out in my garage. I think I'm going to give it to Haley because she collects signs in her garage. She gave us some stuff.
Thank you.
Save the Mound, and it's got a picture of the mounds on there. It's, I'll definitely bring that over soon.
Yeah, they're still protesting things like that, even here in Minnesota along the St. Croix.
Oh, with the mounds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's, you know, we talked to over the years, Arvina and Haley, with people from the Minnesota Historical Society that know where certain mounds are up north here, and they won't tell people because they don't want them desecrated. And part of me is like, oh, God, I wish I could go up there and see it, but I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. There's we ran into that when I was on the Historic Preservation or the Board Commission in Madison, and working with our historic preservation officer, you know, she taught me about that, about how they keep those sites, like, and even when they're potentially like in an argument about like what to do with a property, like there's a zone, it'll say this is the zone of possibility, as I think that's what the term is, of like there being a mound there, rather than saying the mound is right here. So that people, again, so that people will not mess with it. And you're right. It's too bad that there aren't any kind of concessions for, I mean, I don't know how you would do it to be able to like only let Native people come visit these sites, you know, because of what they mean to us. I don't know how you could pull that off.
Right. Well, right, because people that probably even live in the area don't realize it's there. That's how I kind of understood it. And but they were up there studying it and taking pictures and probably drawing what they are. And we have that famous man mound in Wisconsin. And I know there's talk about possibly diverting the road, because right now the legs are cut off because the road went right through them.
Yeah, and they actually have the legs painted on the road.
Yeah.
I don't know if you. Yeah, so yeah. It's kind of like a nice acknowledgement, but kind of cruel too. That it's just like, right. Yep, this is where it was. Here's the white paint.
Yeah,
and so I remember going when it was declared a historic site. And there was like a big ceremony and everything, and yep, there he is with his
little painted legs.
He's cut off like right above the knees, it seems like.
Yeah. Right below the knee. Looks like below the knees, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was quick, Haley. That's amazing that you got it up there that quick, but also amazing picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of that a couple days ago, and I was just astonished that they painted the legs on.
Well, and then what good is it now to divert the road around it? I mean, things are probably that were there, whether they were our ancestors buried there or whatever, are no longer there because there's a road there. I just it's too bad, because it's a very cool looking mound.
Yeah, actually, when we were at that historic site dedication day, they had some folks there from the U.S. Historic Chamber or one of those kinds of groups, and I raised my hand to ask when they had questions. I'm like, can we get this listed on the UNESCO World Heritage site, you know, as a national, you know, I mean, it's the only example on the planet, I believe, of, you know, a human person, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the only one of its kind, and it's part of our human history. We should care about that being destroyed as much as we cared about the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral,
right,
several years ago. I mean, like, this is it's important, and it's important to the history of people who are not Native as well, like as Wisconsinites and Minnesotans. You know, those are part of our shared history as well.
I know. I noticed the man kind of had Viking horns, you know. No, just kidding. hey, Arvina, we got 30 seconds here. Give out some information on how we can get a hold of you on Emerge Wisconsin and your website.
Absolutely. Our website is wi.emergeamerica.org, and you can email me at Arvina, ARVINA, at emergewi.org.
Always so great to see you and have you on the show. Happy ninth. This is our ninth season on the
Yay!
Air, and you're a big part of it, and I want to just say a big peeny gigi for coming on and sharing with us and our audience. They love you. We hear about you all the time.
Hijon kichushkuni. Yay!
Peeny gigi, we'll see you.
Bye.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Well, normally, Haley, we'd have our friend Bob Blake on, but this seems to be his nap time.
I don't know.
the last few times. And so I can just say Solar, Bear with the Solar News, is not here quite yet, but one of the things we kind of have a chat going on with the mothership here and talk a little bit about our relative Leonard maybe now. And one of the things that we'd like is people to reach out to Biden. And there was over 100 Native nations that reached out to the president about, you know, releasing Leonard Peltier, who's 80 years old and a long-serving political prisoner in the United States history. He's not in for murder. He's in for abetting the murder of two FBI agents, and he's never admitted to any of those. And so I think that's part of why he's still in there too. He probably could have made a deal years and years and years ago, but it would have been the wrong deal. And we just pray that he can come out someday very soon. And we only have a couple days left for the president now to commute his sentence, Haley.
That's right. Yeah, I was just looking up. I know Leonard Peltier has a website. I was just trying to look it up. But if you type in Leonard Peltier website, there's some great info on there too. I know Indian Collective has been a big supporter for Leonard Peltier's clemency as well. There's a number that you can still text. You can text Free Leonard Now to 50302. Again, that's Free Leonard Now to 50302. And that'll keep you up to date with Indian Collective's updates with Leonard.
Yeah, it's a sad thing. We had the ability to have him on the show, what was it, a couple years ago. And it was amazing because he called me, and when you're in prison, you only have time for like 10, 15-minute call. And I would happen to have two phones. I guess it's called a burner phone. No, I'm just kidding. I have two phones, and hit record on the other phone and talked to him in the speaker, and was able to converse with him. And, you know, time is running short here, and it would be a great boost to the Native American community, you know, because Haley, he was used as an example during those turbulent times of the American Indian movement, and just after Wounded Knee, the occupation of Wounded Knee, and the FBI wanted to make an example of him. And then, as history goes, too, the strong group American Indian movement didn't have as much power after that, after Wounded Knee and after all these things. People were being put in jail, and the courts, and it really kind of broke up the AIM advantage, because the American government was really afraid of what the American Indian movement was doing and could do. And so this is all just a big picture, big part of the picture of keeping us Natives down. And because American Indian movement made a lot of Native American people really proud of, that they were Native, and it was a good time. And, you know, we had our uncle, Clyde Belcourt, who passed away, a founding member of AIM on many times in the last 8 years before he passed away. I guess it's 2 years now that he's gone. And he was a big supporter of Native Roots Radio and a big supporter of me personally. And I talked to him. You know, I was on his phone call list where he would call once a day to a bunch of people because he was in the house a lot because he was getting up in years. And so it was just, you know, checking in. It was, I miss Uncle Clyde, and we need to get Leonard out.
Yeah, absolutely. So please just keep encouraging your senators, representatives, send them a letter, an email asking President Biden, ask them to ask President Biden to grant Leonard Peltier's clemency and immediate release. I know there's a couple great email templates out there too to send in as well.
Yeah, I feel like I'm about to sneeze, Haley, so you might have to tell a joke or a riddle here in a second, or we have okay. some, well, we have, maybe we can bring up what's happening at the bookstore again coming up.
Yeah, that would be great. I know that First Seller, is it First Seller Books? Is it AM 950, our home station sponsor, or one of their sponsors? And that'll be, you're going to hear, they're going to have a reading with Indigenous authors, Bruce White and Melanie Benjamin. They're going to be discussing the Minnesota Historical Society Press released this book. It's They Would Not Be Moved, The Enduring Struggle of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe to Keep Their Reservation. And you can hear Bruce White and Melanie Benjamin talk about this book at 6 p.m. Wednesday, January 22nd at Next Chapter Booksellers at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul.
Right off Grand. It's right around the corner of Grand Avenue and right down the street from Dunn Brothers Coffee. And then a few blocks up, one of our sponsors, Jess Steve's coffee shop that sponsors us.
Oh, yeah, J.S. Bean Factory.
Yeah, right up the street. So stop there, have a coffee, tell them we sent you, and then come down. And, you know, what's really cool and interesting, Haley, is that the Minnesota Historical Society is really supporting the Native story here. And it's part of the history and part of prehistory because, as we know, the colonizers only think of prehistory as before them, but this is real history. And it was during the 1855 treaty they were talking about in this book. But I got to give a shout out to Kathy Coates again. We went into this with Banish, and I don't know if I mentioned this last time we talked about her, Haley, but she sold over 3,500 books, and usually people that write books for the Minnesota Historical Society do about 4,000 in the whole life of the book. So maybe in 10 years they sell 4,000. So she did really well, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, Ho-Chunk's history in Minnesota has been, you know, been trying to be erased for as long as Ho-Chunks have been here. I mean, been exiled, and a lot of people and tribes in the area don't like to include us, but we were here coming over the St. Croix River and being welcomed by Dakota neighbors and welcomed on bison hunts. And it was a community thing back, you know, in those days and ancestral Ho-Chunk times. And, you know, we didn't have borders.
Right.
We didn't have reservations.
Well, what's interesting, too, because we've been removed, we've had our own, as Ho-Chunks, our own Trail of Tears 6 or 7 times. You know, because we've been moved, and each move cost a lot of lives, mm-hmm. a lot of Ho-Chunk lives. And but we're still here, and we're resilient, and you and I are related, and we have a lot of other people that we're related to, and we're still here. And it's amazing to talk about this and think about that, Howard McKee and Houghton and all those names that are big in our family and big in Ho-Chunk. So we're still here. And if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resilience. And Haley and I are still here, and the Ho-Chunk people and over 500 nations recognized tribes are still here.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss the life and presidency of Jimmy Carter with journalist and political consultant Candy Stroud before spending some time honoring Dr. King's holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Donald Trump returns to Washington today to kick off inauguration festivities as the official ceremony on Monday has been moved inside. CBS's Nancy Korda says the decision is because Mother Nature isn't cooperating.
It's going to be bitterly cold Monday, around 20 degrees, but with winds up to 30 miles per hour, which will make it feel even colder. From a safety perspective, it was obviously the best thing to do.
The preparations for the inauguration have been going on for a year now and have been extensive.
The building of an entirely new platform on the west front of the Capitol, all of the security, all the preps for the media, all the preps for tens of thousands of people to gather on the National Mall.
The inauguration address will now be delivered in the Capitol Rotunda, which Ronald Reagan did back in 1985 due to cold temps as well. In addition, the parade is